In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are now on part three. The people pertaining to Louisa, the spiritual fathers, the confessors, the popes, the bishops, other people, other important people connected to Louisa, saints saints with Louisa, and the letters of Louisa to bishops and priests. And I am horrible at, as you probably know, names. I destroy names continuously. You can read this first part. It's all about the priests, all about the vicar generals, all about the bishops, all about the popes. Especially when we get down to Venerable Pius the Ninth, the Louisa's hidden life. That's a little farther down. Okay, you got it. Okay. Louisa's hidden life of 12 years from her birth. On April 23rd, 1865, until 1877, basically her first vision. She had numerous visions. It was visions, apparitions, locutions, and where the vision in 1877 of Jesus carrying the cross and Jesus looking at Louisa. She's looking out her balcony. She hears this noise. She looks out her balcony. She looks down, and there's Jesus carrying the cross, and there's all these people around him, you know, cursing him, swearing at him, you know, yelling at him, screaming at him. And he's carrying the cross, and he looks up to Louisa, and he says, "Soul, help me." And that's when Louisa fainted, and she said, at that point, she says, "I have to help Jesus." Now, in her early life, when her father, you know, they were very poor. They didn't really have a home in the beginning. And she was born on a penthouse down the street from the Association Louisa Picaretta, where that is right now. And so it was the penthouses where the poor would stay. And when you go through Corrado, you'll always see these little teeny houses on top of the buildings. And this is where the generous souls would allow the poor people, the poor families, to have a place to stay. And that's where she was born. She was born on a penthouse. And she died. It's really interesting. It's not even a 5-minute walk from her house to the church. That's probably 3-minute walk. And then from the church to the association, which is probably 5 minutes. And then from the association where she lived for 40 years, and you walk down the opposite street to the orphanage that St. Honorable de Francia built for Louisa. He said, "Come to Messina." And she said, "Jesus says I can't leave Corrado." So he says, "Okay, I'll build an orphanage in Corrado." And that's where the Daughters of Divine Zeal are still there with taking care of the orphans, taking care of the children. And then she was there for 10 years to the day. And when she got there, which was October 7th, they said to Louisa, "How long are you going to stay?" She said, 10 years. 10 years to the day, that's when she left. And then she moved. If you know where the association is, there's a row of houses that you can look at as you walk out of the association. She was on the other side of the house. Father Bucci always wanted to buy that room. This is where Louisa died. Where Louisa was born, he wanted to buy. Where Louisa died, he wanted to buy. He says, this is so important for humanity. And so we see how, even though, you know, it's been, what is it, 75 years since she died, we still don't have the place where she died. I remember a priest brought me into the room, and he says, right here, and he points to a chair or a couch, where this man was drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, and watching TV. And he says, this is where Luisa died. And I can understand why Father Bucci wanted to buy that, because this is where she went to heaven, from this spot right here, where this man was drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, and watching TV. How interesting that is. So the hidden life of Luisa, when she was a child, she had blonde hair, she had blue eyes. So she was always running around, especially at Torre Desperado, where her father worked for the summer. And when you go to Torre Desperado, and hopefully you'll be able to do that someday soon, as far as you can see, 10 miles to one direction, 10 miles another direction, 10 miles, as far as you can see, there's hardly any houses at all. It's a desperate, it's Torre Desperado. Everything is pebbles. It's all stone. Where, you know, when Our Lady appears, like at Fatima and Lourdes, even Garabandel and Medjugorje, it's all stone. Wherever Our Lady is, she always goes to places where there's just nothing. I mean, there's no rich, there's rich soil, but it's loaded with stones all over the place. So when you're standing there in the spring, as they're seeding the ground, as far as you can see, they put wheat, wheat grows there. They said the Puglia, that area, everything that you plant in the ground, you can eat. It's filled with orchards of olive oil, olive trees, and vineyards and wheat. You hit the sea is right next to it. You know, it's so you have water, you have oil, you have wheat, you have bread, you have wine. It's perfect for the church, perfect for any human. And so she would always be running around with this little boy, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy, who they would her sisters would say to her, "Who's your boy? Who's your boyfriend?" And it was Jesus. She was always with Jesus. She was, and then when the devil would come, see, the devil came too to frighten her, to terrify her. And when the devil would show up, she would hide in the mulberry tree, and it's still there. There's an empty space in the tree where a little child could jump in and hide. She would hide there, and when you go to Torre Desperado, you'll see the building that she stayed in, and it's all in ruins. Father Bucci kept on saying, we got to get this. We can't let this go, be just disappear. So it was in this one room where the devil, she was in bed, and the devil twisted the bed around her, tied the metal bed around Luisa. And when the parents saw this in the morning, they took off for the doctor. It takes a day to travel by foot back to Corrado, and then another day to bring the doctor. And it took a day to go there, a day to convince the doctor. The doctor came 3 days. Luisa's tied up in this bed. This metal is wrapped all around her. She couldn't move. And the doctor came in. He says, this is for a priest. So then they had to walk back to find a priest. And again, another 3 days of getting there. And the priest just blessed her, and the bed just unfolded, and she was no harm happened to her. But the devil hated Luisa, and she would always have these visions of the devil coming to destroy her. And she was always pleading with God, always begging God. So here, the hidden life of Luisa, I can't wait to hear what this hidden life, I mean, if you think about it, the hidden life of Jesus. You always see the artists painting the picture of Jesus and John the Baptist together with the Blessed Mother. Now, remember, with John the Baptist, that was the time when Herod was going to kill all the children out, where Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 5 miles from Jerusalem, where John the Baptist lived with his parents. His father was a high priest. That means John the Baptist was going to be a high priest. And his parents were old. So who took care of John the Baptist? And there are some speculations, but I really do believe that John and Jesus were together quite often talking about everything that was to come. And now when you think about the hidden life of Louisa, these 12 years, it was Jesus as a child with Louisa as a child. It was very, 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 very beautiful. So, and then Leo the 13th, his motto was sunshine in heaven. Louisa is the son of the divine will. Again, I know it's green, but it's this book is the son of my divine will. Louisa is Louisa Picaretta. That's from the Vatican. So on March 8th, 1898, because of Louisa's definitive immobility, she was granted permission, listen to this, by a rescript of Pope Leo XIII for a period of 7 years to have the Holy Mass celebrated in the house. Either her confessor officiated or some delegate of his, this privilege was confirmed by then Pope St. Pius X in 1907. So once she was confined to bed, God gave her this beauty. I mean, this blessing of her having Holy Mass in her room. So they imposed it on me, Louisa said, to pray in order to know from you, Jesus, whether I have to do this or not. Instead of being with me, you told me this will serve. Listen to this. This life of Louisa, this will serve to make known the land that the Son of my divine will was to illuminate in order to form its kingdom. So the land is the earth, this little dwelling like Nazareth, where Jesus and Mary and Joseph stayed for 30 years. Well, Joseph died a little earlier than that, but those 30 years of hidden life, there was also a hidden life of Louisa. There was also Jesus saying, it's going to make known the land that the Son of my will, Louisa, was to illuminate. Padre Pio said, Louisa is a second son that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. He also said that Louisa, the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta in the next millennium, the third millennium. So this 50 years of suffering, and as we know what Father Bucci says, Father Bucci was of the same order as Padre Pio. The book that he was reading, no one knows what that book is. They never let out what that book was. But Father Bucci would, when we would ask, well, what was the book? He'd just giggle and he'd laugh and he'd say, you'll find out one day. As Padre Pio was reading the book that was published at that time, the 24 Hours of the Passion, he was reading that book and he knew, receiving the stigmata, that there was something special about Louisa. He just knew it. So again, this land, Jesus said to Louisa, I don't want you to leave Corrado. I have great plans for Corrado. During the COVID, no one got sick. No one had COVID in Corrado. I mean, that was published over. No one has it, which I thought was very, very interesting. See, when you go to Corrado, you know, when you go to Lourdes, when you go to Fatima, when you go to places where Our Lady has appeared, you feel, you sense, you embrace basically this land that Our Lady has visited. Even when you go to Rome City, Indiana, you'll see the miracle of the sun. Every time you go, the miracle of the sun is there at Rome City, Indiana, and the healing waters are there. the healing waters that Pope Leo XIII blessed by Monsignor Canepi, blessed him and these healings that the priests can bring about through this healing, these healing waters. Again, we haven't seen anything yet. Our Lady has said to Sister Mary Ephraim that there'll be more miracles here in the United States than Lourdes and at Fatima. Something's coming that's really spectacular. Something's coming that's really magnificent. So Pope St. Pius X, his motto was restore all things in Christ. Luisa at that time, Luisa, the Divine Mirror, volume 1 through volume 10, is how to live in the divine will, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. So Pius, St. Pius X granted an extension of St. Pope Leo XIII's rescript to allow the celebration of Holy Mass in Luisa's home. At an 11-year period, Luisa, the divine mirror, that's what Jesus called her. You see that right here, volume 7. Our Lord said to Luisa, so that which you write, spoken by me, can be called the divine mirror. So what Luisa, he says, what's coming from you is within you, he says. In 11-year period, the divine mirror completed the very important work, the 24 hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading something today, verifying, because we sent the Hours of the Passion to Mel Gibson, and there was, oh, that's it. In the calendar today, Jesus says when he rose from the dead, he was in glory. He didn't need human clothes. And the last scene that you see in the 24, the Passion of the Christ is Jesus walking without human clothes. And it was wonderful to know that this understanding of this clothing, this being clothed in divine nobility, was shown to us even in the theater. So, then World War One. Say, Honorable de Francia, the censor of the writings, and he. At that point, is the censor. Now, there are some people that say that they were the censor, and Archbishop Cassati and Archbishop Piccari both said there was no censor of the writings except the ones that were named. And St. Honorable de Francia was the censor of the writings obtained by the imprimatur from His Excellency, the Archbishop of Trani, Giuseppe Leo May, for the volumes written by Luisa at that time were already 19. So in Luisa's original books, in the back of the book was written the Nihil Obstat by St. Honorable de Francia and the Imprimatur by St. Leo, Archbishop Leo May. Several witnesses also relate that one day Father Inibile came to the house of Luisa more content than ever and said that he had brought the 24 hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the book to the Holy Father, St. Pius X, who had received Father Inibile several times in private audience. I mentioned this once before when I was I was good friends with the postulator of the cause of St. Honorable de Francia. And he was a happy man. He was so happy. But anyways, what was really interesting was I said, is it true that Pope St. Pius X was a good friend of St. Honorable de Francia? Now I was in the library at the time. And, you know, there was a bookshelf here and there was a sheet of paper on top. And he goes, well, we think so. We're not sure. Yeah. They did correspond. And I took this paper off and it said Pope St. Pius X. I said, what does this say? And he reads it and he goes, oh yeah, they were friends. Like this. It was very funny. Father Pignatelli, he's a great man. Again, did a lot of work. He lived in the Archdiocese of Trani as a boy. And I got to be at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. There's this pictures of him with Pope St. John Paul II. And he came up to me afterwards and he says, St. Honorable, done. He goes, done. Now he says, now Luisa. And he was all in favor of Luisa. He, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to somebody today and there's a new booklet out of St. Honorable de Francia, who is the one you pray to for vocations. That's what St. John Paul II said. So when you see this, when you see the Rogationists, the harvest, this harvest is so important to Jesus. This is where we are now. This harvest is very close. So St. Honorable de Francia was reading to Pope St. Pius X, one of the hours, that of the crucifixion, when the Pope interrupted him and said, not in this way, Father, but we kneeling, we must read this because it is Jesus who is speaking. So the saint said to another saint, what Luisa wrote, this is Jesus. Jesus is speaking. We must kneel. This is something that is so beautiful. We have that opportunity to kneel. And since the 24 hours of the Passion of the Christ is so powerful. I mean, when you read the prayers, when you read the writings, Jesus said, I will release souls. I will save souls from hell. So, and Jesus says to Luisa, every soul that gets to purgatory because of the 24 hours instead of going to hell. And every soul that gets to heaven because of the 24 hours of the Passion. Because Luisa says, how important is this? You know, and Jesus says, this is basically me speaking to bring people into heaven. And what you have written, every person that is saved from hell is because of the book of heaven. Excuse me, the 24 hours of the Passion. Every person that gets to heaven, Jesus says to Luisa, is because of the 24 hours of the Passion. So this helps us understand why many people back from 1918 on, it was even earlier than that, who were reading, studying, and entering into the 24 hours of the Passion. And we really thank and pray for Mel Gibson and, you know, Jim Caviezel to help us surrender even more to the Lord. This surrendering to the Lord by being with him at his Passion is really important for us. So then Benedict the 15th, his motto was, in you, O Lord, I have trusted. Let me not be confounded forevermore. And then this was at the same time that Luisa from Jesus received this new office. Okay, we'll go on. After World War II started, shortly thereafter, on August 20th, 1914, Pope St. Pius X finished his reign as Pope and was succeeded by Pope Benedict. So volume 11, 6, 1914. As I continued the usual hours of the Passion, so again, this was part of her life, being with Jesus in these 24 hours of the Passion. My lovable Jesus told me, my daughter, the world is in continuous act of renewing my Passion. And since my immensity envelops everything inside and outside of humanity, of creatures, from their contact, I am forced to receive the nails. God receives the nails, the thorns, the scourges, the scorns, the spit, and all the rest that I suffer, Jesus said, in the Passion, and still more. So he's saying, even though it's 2,000 years later, Jesus went through the passion, and Jesus says, and even more. And now that I at the contact with souls who do these hours of my passion, I feel the nails being removed. I feel the thorns shattered. I feel the wounds soothed. I feel the spit taken away. So when we're with Jesus, compassionating him, he's being relieved. He's being relieved of the wounds, the torture that he went through. Finally, there is somebody with him. He's saying, I feel I am repaid in good for all the evil that the others do to me. So we can soothe Jesus by being with him, going through the 24 hours of the Passion. And in feeling that their contact does no harm to me, but good, I lean more and more on them. So Jesus is saying to us, when we go through the hours of the Passion, he says, basically, you're helping me be healed, be soothed. And you know what's really interesting? The oil of Louisa, it's very, very interesting. In volume 3, April 23rd, 1900, Jesus says to Louisa on her birthday, oil will come from your body, Louisa, that will soothe me, the Christ. So this oil of Louisa soothes Jesus, number one. And then he says in volume 13, the children living in the divine will, oil will come. They will be soothing oil to heal the church. So how is everything going to be restored? Jesus says it's going to be through Louisa and the little children of the Holy Divine Will. This oil, this healing, this soothing is he says, like he says, I feel repaired for the good, for the evil that others do to me. And in feeling their contact that does no harm to me, but good, I lean more and more on them. So the Lord is saying that as we enter into this gift, as we really begin to live this abundant life, I mean, it's not the fullness of it. It's the door of the kingdom is still shut. It's open to redeem humanity, but for sanctification, it's still closed. When the Pope opens that door, the kingdom's going to be here on earth as it is in heaven. So the light that is coming to humanity right now because of the readings, just you got to picture the door closed in the little slit under the door. The light is reflecting under. We don't see it directly, but we see the reflection of this light, which is so beautiful. It's so perfect. It's so holy. It's so saintly. But I do believe that when the illumination of conscience comes, Jesus says, the greatest thing that I can give to humanity, is that they know who they are and who I am. So what God is going to do, and this is just my understanding, is like he's just going to open the door for a second and close the door. Here's who I am. This light, this blinding light of the life, the love, the light of God is going to show that we're nothing. God is everything. And he, the Lord God Almighty, letting us know who we are. Nothing. We're a speck. We're his children. If God could hold the galaxy in his hand and the galaxy is spinning and we're a dot in this, a speck, in this, our solar system is a speck in this Milky Way. Jesus is going to show us how much he loves us. Number one, that he would breathe that rule of God, that breath of God into us so that we could share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water under the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. So God wants us to become aware of who we are and why he has predestined us to live at this time, to have the book of heaven, to read, to study, to put it into practice, because he says, I can lean more and more on my children, on the ones who understand my crucifixion, death and resurrection, who are with me at my crucifixion, death and resurrection. That's the other thing too. With the divine will, there's no time or space. It's a whole new beginning. So in addition to this, returning to speak about these hours of the passion, Blessed Jesus said, my daughter, no, you have to know that by doing these hours, the soul takes my thoughts and make them her own. See, so the intellect, we think from a human perspective, the three powers, our intellect, the first power, he says, those who do the hours of the passion, by doing these hours, the soul takes my thoughts and make them their own. So we begin to see and understand God from a divine perspective. Okay. Not just saintly, good and holy of the saints, but a divine perspective. Jesus, the way Jesus thinks. Now, nobody has that fully. Like I said, we read the book of heaven and it's the light reflecting under the door. That little slit under the door is we're going, wow, this is amazing. Wait till the door opens. Wait till that great day happens. It's just going to be amazing. He says, she takes my reparations, my prayers, my affections, and even my most intimate fibers and make them her own. Okay, so your intellect begin to think with the mind of Christ. Your memory becomes of Jesus, of Mary. Like he says, those who do the hours of the passion takes my reparations, takes my prayers, takes my desires, takes my affections and even my most intimate fibers and make them her own. So our intellect, memory, and will, this is what God is asking. He's asking us. And rising up between heaven and earth, listen to this, the soul does my same office. And as co-redemptrix, she says to me, I am here, send me. So here it is, years later, after Louisa first saw Jesus walking with a crucifix, walking with a cross on his shoulders. And he says, soul, help me. And Jesus says, if you're with my same office, like my mother, you begin to become co-redemptrix. You say, I am here, send me. Then he goes, want to repair for everyone. I want to answer for everyone. And I want to impetrate good for all humanity, past, present, and future. That's what Our Lady did on Calvary. To enter into this gift, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, is to live their life. Okay? It doesn't mean you become Jesus. It doesn't mean you become Mary. But you want to say, I am here, send me. I want to repair for everyone, past, present, and future. I want to answer for everyone, past, present, and future. I want to impetrate good for everyone, past, present, and future. So this isn't, Jesus says, isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. This is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. And this, in volume 11, learning how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to hear what Jesus is asked of Louisa and now is asking of us. Jesus says, who will be with me? Who's going to help bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? And we say, I am here. Send me. I want to repair. Do you think about this? Do you want to repair for everyone? If it's yes, then God is responding. God is listening to that yes. Do you want to answer for everyone? Do I impetrate good for everyone, past, present, and future? Do you think this is what God is calling you to? Then read, continue to read, and he will give you another office. That's what he says to Louisa. He wants us to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, which he gave to Louisa. This is her office. This is her job. And Jesus says, will you help her? Will you help her do what I've asked her to do? She can do it all by herself because this is her gift. But if you want it, I'll let you work with her. What a great job. What an amazing time. I mean, really think about that. Whoa. Pius the 11th, his motto was go swiftly, Job 6:15. He's the one in 1925 who Jesus says the church guided by the Holy Spirit in 1925 celebrated for the first time, if you want to say in the official church, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Christ, the King. So it says Pius the 11th established the beautiful feast of Christ, the King on December 11th, 1925. Pope Pius had much sorrow. He grieved over the sufferings of his children in Mexico and Russia and Spain and Germany. So he wanted Vivo Cristo Rey. He wanted Viva Cristo Rey. He wanted the humanity to call for the King to return. And Jesus says, this Feast of Christ the King, he said, was given to the church to prepare the world. Listen to what he's saying. For the feast of the divine will. Prepare the world for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven, for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords. 5:25, 10:28, 28. My daughter, the church does nothing but intuitively grasp what she must know on my divine will. So this has been, this is guided by the Holy Spirit. The church has always led closer and closer and closer to Christ, our King of the King of Kings. The church must know on my divine will how its kingdom must come. Therefore, this feast is the prelude of the kingdom of my divine fiat. What is coming? And this is what's so great and so glorious. That's why everything is happening now. Look what's happening in Brazil. Look what's happening in England. Look what's happening in Germany. Look what's happening all over the world, Japan, everything is here. You got to understand this. This is a great time to be alive. Therefore, the feast is the prelude of the kingdom of my divine fiat. Indeed, the church is doing nothing other than honoring my holy humanity with those titles, which by right and are due to my holy humanity. And when the church has given me all the honors that befit me, Jesus, he says, the church will move on to honor and to institute the feast of the kingdom of my divine will, by which my holy humanity was animated. We haven't seen anything yet. This is the ultimate what the church is going to enter into. And so what's happening in the world is the evil one thinks he's going to stop it. It's not going to happen. He can't. This is a divine decree, Jesus says. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, sanctification is a divine decree. And what is sanctification? To honor the institute of the feast of the kingdom, my divine will, which my holy humanity was animated. We're now going to see not just the holy humanity of Jesus, the exterior, which we've learned about for the last 2,000 years, but now the interior life of Jesus. This interior life of the divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming upon the earth, this purification that has to come to the earth, the church and the earth, the world, is here. It's here. The church proceeds step by step, and now the church institutes the feast to my sacred heart. And now she consecrates the century and in all solemnity to Christ the Redeemer. And she, listen to this, and now she moves on with greater solemnity to institute the feast of Christ the King. What a great feast. Christ the King. And think about it. What day did the church start the cause of Louisa in 1994 on November 20th, the Feast of Christ the King. Christ the King means that he must have his kingdom and that he must have peoples worthy of such a king. That's why there's this purification going on. God is saying, who wants to work with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth? See, God's looking for humans. Jesus and Mary did their job to redeem us. Jesus redeemed. Are they to co-redeem with Christ? And now what's Louisa's job? Jesus says to Louisa, you bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He must have peoples worthy of such a king. And hopefully that's us, who will ever be able to form for me the kingdom, if not my most holy divine will. So he says, what I am teaching you, Louisa, is to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven in this gift of gifts, the gift of the divine will. Then yes, I will be able to say, I have my people. My fiat has formed my people for me. That's what we're going through right now. Oh, if the leaders of the church knew what I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will, what I, God, want to do, the great prodigies of my divine will, the yearnings of my divine will, my sorrowful heartbeats of my divine will, the anguishing sides of my divine will, for I want my divine will to reign. I want my divine will to make everyone happy. Listen to what he says. I want to restore the human family, that they would feel that this feast of the King, Christ the King, is nothing other than the secret echo of my heart, which echoing in my children, echoing in them without their knowing it, has them institute for me the feast of Christ the King in order to call their attention, call their reflection of Jesus as our King, as our Lord, as our Master, as our Savior, as our all. Christ is the King and his true people. Where are they? That's what he's saying right now. Christ is the King. The church has proclaimed this. Where are his people? And they would say, let us hasten to make his divine will known. To whom? To us. You learn this. You study this. You put this into practice. No, your family doesn't want to listen to it. Your neighbors don't want to listen to it. Your coworkers don't want to listen to it. Jesus is saying, I want you to know this. I want you to love this. I want you to possess this. Let it reign in us, that we may give the people to Christ the King, whom we have called so. So here, our job is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, all of humanity, past, present, and future. This is what God is asking. Otherwise, we have honored him with words and not with facts. So this here is I think what we'll do is we'll read that again next time we meet. This is so important to Jesus. He's given us the Feast of Christ the King on 1925. And here now it's going to be 100 years in 3 years. God's got great plans. And he says, let us hasten to make his divine will known. Let us let the divine will reign, that we may give a people to Christ the King, whom we have called so. Lord Jesus, I want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. I want everyone to embrace you as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior. God's going to do it, and he's asking us to work with Louisa to bring about this great event that's coming soon. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.